For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Good afternoon and welcome into the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. It's 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Happy hump day. It's Wednesday, July the 13th, 2022. We are now less than 3 weeks until the all-important primary date of August the 2nd. Please prepare yourselves to vote. And if you're going to be out of town that week, you may vote absentee right now all across the region. I think Joey V was telling you about that in some of his newscasts that he was doing earlier today. All right, folks, good afternoon. I'm Tim Jones. We got Chris Arps and Katie Fitzpatrick in studio as well, of course. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you, Tim and Katie?
Doing great. Well, doing well. I saw something today for the first time that references our station. This was very exciting. I'm driving down here going eastbound on Interstate 44. I look over, I see a little kind of, little mid-size, little white SUV, a little Chevy with a News Talk STL sticker on the back window.
Exciting.
I gave him the big high sign as I went by.
Awesome. Hey. You know?
So shout out to all you all out there who've got those stickers on. It was very exciting to see that. That is a P1 listener right there. That is a primary listener to put a sticker of a brand new radio station on the back of your vehicle. So we thank you. And hopefully we'll see more of those around the region soon. So
I thought that
was pretty cool.
Whenever we had billboards going, there was a billboard that I always tried to see. It was a digital billboard that I always tried to see, and it was on 270, I believe. And I always missed it for some reason. And then one day I saw it, and I took a picture of it, which I shouldn't be doing in a car, but I took a picture of it anyway. It's just so exciting to see those things, like, out in the wild.
I did the same thing. I live off of Olive, and when we would go on 170, there was an electronic billboard there, and you could see it really clearly. I pulled over, Katie, and took a picture of the billboard. I did not do anything dangerous, but yeah, that was exciting, and it's hard to believe that was a year ago, almost, crazy, when all that happened, and our big birthday is coming up. July 19th, I'm going through my Facebook timeline. You know how you have memories. And I remember a year ago this time, we were teasing it. We weren't showing the complete logo. We were just showing the landscape of the city and talking about what's going on.
You took a picture of the dial saying coming soon.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that was really good, too. That was fun.
Got everybody all excited, I remember, a year ago. It's amazing. That was a year ago. Because it's hot again now. So, it's like 1 year later. We're back in the heat of July, and we are fully launched. That birthday party is next Tuesday. It's coming up very quickly at the Diamond Music Hall. All the details at newstalkstl.com. It's free. Please come. Please come. Please swing. You don't have to stay for a long time if you're in a rush. I know it's busy. It's summer. Come by and say hello to all of us. We're all going to be there. There's going to be music. There's going to be comedy. There's going to be us. We'll take a picture with you and send you on your way.
Katie, did we ever nail down the open bar question?
That is a negative.
I think there's two open bar. I think there's two open bars.
I know that question was up in the air there for a minute.
Joe is going to come in here and bonk our heads together.
There's an ad coming out as well. I do not like pictures of myself. I never have. I've only got one or two pictures that have been professionally taken over the years where I'm like, yeah, I look all right in that one. But I will say, the ad of us that is going to be appearing soon in the Mid Rivers Mall or the West News? Is it the one out in St. Charles? They're all related.
Yeah.
In one of the magazines that we affiliate with, West News Magazine and the Mid Rivers, the three of us are featured in a new ad that is going to be hitting your mailboxes. And it's a good photo of us, and it's very cool because we're standing in front of our logo wall. And it all looks really good.
I mean, if you really want to be honest, though, Tim, the only reason why you and I both look good on that picture is because Katie is in the center of us.
No,
and
her youthful
glow comes across on us. But if it was just me and you, it'd be like...
No, you both look very handsome in our headshots.
A bunch of old curmudgeons.
No.
Felix and Oscar. That's coming up soon. And so check out your mailbox for us in the news magazine there, which will be hitting your mailboxes. So, yeah, we're just continuing to promote ourselves so you can tell more folks about us when you when people go, what's this radio thing going on here? So, yep, we're 1 year old, so of course we feel very comfortable with all you all, but we know that many, many, many more people need to be introduced to News Talk STL. Yeah. There's a lot of confusion because there's a bunch of radio stations in town now, and we all have similar names, and we're the one you need to be listening to. There you have it.
I got an email text message through Facebook yesterday. We had we've gained a new listener, a friend of mine, longtime Facebook friend. He is not on Facebook, but I'm friends with her, and he sent me a message through Facebook talking about our discussion about the tennis player. And he agreed with you and Katie on that position, but he did see my point of it. I think he was just being nice. But he had said he had never heard of News Talk STL, kind of stumbled on the station, and he said he is enjoying the show, and Tim and I, and look forward to listening. So you know who you are out there that sent me that. I appreciate, I don't want to mention your name, but I appreciate you sending us that feedback, and we appreciate it, and it's good to hear from the listeners through personal things such as this, or through Rumble, or through the Facebook feed, or emails. Of course, we want all negative email to go to Katie at
newstalksdl.com. Send it my way.
There's a buddy of mine that I see almost every weekend. He's in the golfing crew I play with really early in the morning. The dew sweepers. We get up really early on Saturdays and Sundays, some weekends. And this one of them, they all listen. Many of them listen to the station. One of them, though, I'm going to make Vic feel good. One of them is a Vic head super fan. Our buddy Big Bill Dean, we call him BBD. Every time I walk up, that Vic the other day. That Vic, he was talking about this, that, and the other thing. And, I love that guy, Vic. I mean, I'm trying to do Bill's voice. Bill's a great big guy. Not in a bad way. He's a former rugby player in his 60s now, still in very good shape. And he's a huge Vic Porcelli fan. So
that's great.
We've picked up groupies, you know, for each of the shows in less than a year, which is also really amazing indeed.
And before we go forward, I sent it to both of you earlier. Real Clear Politics published a letter today from Robert Woodson and Glenn Lowry, who put on the Old Parkland conference that I attended with Clarence Thomas, have put out a letter condemning the hate, basically, that Justice Clarence Thomas has been receiving lately. And I was honored to be one of the signatories on the letter. Kira Davis, Kate, I know you're a fan of. She signed it. Kenneth Blackwell, Larry Elder, a lot of African American conservatives, 100 in all, signed this letter condemning those that were calling for Justice Thomas to be impeached, calling, saying that he and his anything concerning January 6th, he should disqualify himself from the case because of his wife's activism. So this is something that we have put out. We're hoping to get Rob Woodson on the show in the future. If those of you that listen to Dr. Tober's show on Saturday mornings from 6 to 9, you've heard him on the show many times. He does a lot of national media and can tell us more about this this letter. So I'm honored to sign on to it.
See him often on the Big Fox and on many of the other cable news networks and like Newsmax, and he is fantastic indeed. We've got a bunch of fantastic guests, a full lineup today. Claire Morrell is going to be joining us next. Great to have Claire back on the show, policy analyst for the Ethics and Public Policy Institute, on a very interesting topic that I often see Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson focused on, and that is, what is big tech a danger to your children? What should you be doing about all the devices in the home? Claire Morrell has answers for us on that next. Douglas Blair of the Daily Signal at 4:07, going to be talking about his coverage of the pro-abortion march and the threats to the justices of the Supreme Court. Eric Robert, Joe Biden's economy sucks. And Eric Roberts can talk to us about why, based on all of these new economic numbers that came out today that were rather horrific. All right, Chris, Katie, and I head into a break here. We'll be right back with Claire Morrell talking about big tech. Is it a danger to the children? 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Yeah.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Down and you know that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to all of the witnesses for being here. Before I want to visit with you, Ms. Maskey, but before I do, I just want to clear one thing up. Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue. We can recognize
that this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
So your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence.
Well, of course it is. That way we don't have to discuss it if I can just call you a name. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9 941 News Talk STL. Chris, the junior senator of the great state of Missouri, got into quite the heated exchange yesterday. And every time I hear exchanges like that, I wonder, when in the world did we fall through the looking glass into some weird, twisted, bizarre version of Earth that's even stranger than Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah, and what that sounds like, and I've had that discussion many times with liberals, when you're debating with them and they run out of talking points, the next thing that they resort to is saying that you're some type of phobic, or that you hate yourself, or start calling you names, Uncle Tom, things of that nature. And that's just a prime example of what you saw, someone there that was challenged, couldn't answer the question, and so they resort to the next best thing, is attack the messenger. What Senator Hawley was asking was a simple question, a question most of us learn when we're told the birds and the bees when we're adolescents and in biology class, is that women have babies and men don't.
We're going to talk to our next guest about the intersection of this gender ideology messaging, big tech, and a lot of other issues. Joining us once again is Claire Morrell, policy analyst at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, where she works on EPPC's Big Tech Project. Claire, good afternoon, and welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi, Claire.
Claire, wanted to reference a tweet that was put out just the other day by the Ethics and Public Policy Center, so we can start off our discussion here. EPPC, I think one of your colleagues, actually, Mary Rice Hassan, says, gender ideology messaging goes out through social media. Many children today are immersed in a virtual world. They're consuming heavy doses, and it can be hard for parents to see who is influencing their children. Claire, that's absolutely going on. And many of those of us in the sane world of reality think that it's a major problem because of the type of messaging that our children are subjected to. What say you?
Yes, absolutely. No, these social media platforms, parents need to be aware, are just filled with trans influencers, videos, TikToks, posts promoting transitioning, peddling misinformation about therapy, treatments, hormone therapies, different steps they can take. And this is just filling these feeds on social media for our kids. And so this is really a real threat. Influencers are becoming the authority in children's lives rather than the parents, just by the nature of kids having access to these social media platforms.
Claire, I've asked this question many times here on the show, and I've never really gotten a definitive answer for myself when I've read other things on this. But there's this movement now to have transgender people read stories to pre-kindergarten and kindergarten children. And these transgender people are highly sexualized. There's no question who they are and what they're doing. And there seems to be it's okay. You see this happening in public schools. And I've said that if you went to a gentleman's club and grabbed a stripper and had her reading a story to a kindergarten class, the parents and the teachers and the school district would be up in arms. Why is this acceptable, and why this highly sexualalized thing that they're doing with our children at such an early age?
No, it's horrifying. And that's exactly the type of content. I mean, it's in our schools, like you just mentioned. It's also on social media. And I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head just saying it's become so sexualized. And, you know, I think that is exactly what's happening on these platforms. And parents might not even realize, they might think that these kids are just interacting with their friends, but these algorithms are actively feeding them these trending videos of these trans influencers, often inappropriately dressed, highly sexualized, really inappropriate content, and normalizing it. And that's the whole point, is these social media platforms are trying to normalize this to our kids. And it really is affecting this next generation, and parents need to be on guard. And so, you know, I think that this is just a reflection of the kind of Silicon Valley elites pushing their radical LGBT agenda and using social media platforms to do so.
Speaking to Claire Morell of the Ethics and Public Policy Institute, she's got a great new piece up at the National Review titled Parents, Are You Prepared for the Digital Dangers Your Kids Face? Claire, many folks in and around Chris and I's generation, and, you know, maybe on the 10 years before and the 10 years after, we entered the social media world, many of us largely as grown adults, question of how mature we all are or not. But at least we were grown adults, fully formed. Not so much for our children's and the generations that are going to come after that. They're going to have big tech looking at them square in the face from the moment they enter this world. And big tech is after these kids, wants them to get hooked on it. Now, there's a lot of good things about technology. Of course, we all use it, especially people in our business, use it every single day. But what do parents need to be concerned about, Claire, regarding big tech, regarding kids being immersed in this new big tech world?
No, you're absolutely right about the difference between, you know, our generation getting onto these platforms versus these kids basically being inundated at young ages with the way that social media apps have been designed to be highly addictive. And their brains are very malleable during these years. And so the fact that these companies have recognized this, they're trying to addict them at this young age. And it's affecting them because they feed them these quick images, these videos, TikTok. I mean, it's terrible. And so kids become addicted to them just by the nature of the way that they're designed. And their brains, you know, become addicted to these platforms. And then they're not only addictive, but what I want parents to be aware of is that they're not, you know, just filled with neutral, happy, you know, friendly messages or content. A lot of it is very inappropriate. It's illicit content. There are sexual and drug-related content being fed out on these platforms, as well as, you know, pornographic content, eating disorder content. You know, it's really not a neutral or even, you know, friendly atmosphere environment for our children to be in. And the apps, you know, the algorithms really send kids down these rabbit holes. As soon as they look or click on one thing, immediately their feed is just inundated with whether it be trans influencers or eating disorder content. And so I really do warn parents that I don't think minors should be on social media. I don't think there's really any real need for them to have social media accounts. Sure, there are other good uses of technology, but the way the social media apps are designed in particular, I mean, I think children should be at least 16, ideally in my mind, 18 before they're on them. And the same with smartphones. I think there are many phone alternatives today if you want your kids to be able to message their friends or stay in touch with you. But to have the internet and these apps just constantly in their pockets all day, it was really detrimental to their health.
Claire, are we starting to see the industry police itself in effect? I've been watching a lot of television lately, and I'm seeing an ad by Dove Soap where there's a young girl in front of a computer screen, and they're talking about eating disorders and self-esteem and those of that nature. Where is that coming from, and have you seen that ad?
I have not personally seen that ad, but I will say that they are starting to try to quote unquote police themselves. So I'm skeptical about how well-meaning they really are, in the sense that, you know, Instagram just released these new parental controls and they're saying, we're trying to make this all safe for kids. Look at these great parental controls. You can set time limits. but they're not really granting parents full access to their minors' accounts. They can't see what they're doing. And they're also having the control for these parental controls flow from the child to the parent rather than the other way around. So the teenager still has to grant their parent access to have these controls, when it really should be completely the other way around, that parents should be the ones who have the access and are allowing their children on if that's their choice. And so it's not really all that effective, honestly. And I think that they're doing this as kind of a ruse to try to take attention and heat off them from Congress on these issues.
Claire, we got about a minute left. Before I let you go, besides reading your article at National Review, parents, are you prepared for the digital dangers your kids face? What other resources, Claire, should parents seek out? Should they contact their congressmen and senators? I mean, what should parents be doing to get motivated on this issue?
Thank you for asking. That's a great question. And my article in NRO, National Review Online, also mentions this, that the Ethics and Public Policy Center, we just released a technology guide for parents for this exact purpose. It's a one PDF guide that consolidates all this information in one place. The harms and dangers to be aware of, how to have conversations with your kids about technology, and sample boundaries and guidelines to put in place in your home, as well as practical tools parents can utilize today to protect their kids, you know, like filtering softwares or phone alternatives. And so we really wanted this to be a kind of one-stop shop package to empower and equip parents to better protect their kids online, because right now the onus, unfortunately, is on parents rather than the tech companies. I'm hopeful Congress will pass an update to the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. I think that is really needing reform. But in the meantime, it really is on us as parents to be proactive to protect our children from the harms that are out there.
Excellent. Claire, thank you so much for all your time today. Claire Murrell, policy analyst for the Ethics, Public, and Policy Center. Thank you, Claire. We'll talk to you again soon. And we'll be back right after this at News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.